Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Hollis. How are you?
I'm well. Hey, you got through? Perfect. Your sound is great. That's perfect. We're still a few minutes away before we go live, okay? But I wanted to say hi and make sure you got through. So very excited, okay?
I'm very excited. I was a little nervous, so I'm glad
Nope.
now.
Perfect. Yeah. It's we're so again, it's a new platform that we're using, started in January, so we're still trying to work the kinks out, but you did great. I'm gonna mute you. Yeah, I'm gonna mute your mic and I can finish my prep and we'll start in a few minutes, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Hollis Chapin Show, the podcast that brings you the most inspiring and thought-provoking conversations each and every week. I'm your host, Hollis Chapin, and I am thrilled to have you join us on this exhilarating journey. On this show, we delve into the minds of visionaries, change makers, and trailblazers from all walks of life, from authors, entrepreneurs to athletes, artists, activists, and even astronauts. We leave no stone unturned in our quest to inspire and empower our listeners. Our guests are not just your average run-of-the-mill celebrities. They're individuals who have overcome the odds, shattered barriers, and achieved phenomenal success. They share their secrets, successes, and even their failures so you can learn from their journeys and apply their wisdom to your own life. Whether we're diving into personal development, authors' new novels, entrepreneurship, mental health, social justice, or the latest scientific breakthroughs, our discussions are always thought-provoking, challenging conventional wisdom, and pushing the boundaries of what's possible. But it's not just the guests that make this show special, it's you, the listeners. Your engagement, questions, and comments fuel every episode. We live for the ha moments, the goosebumps, and the inspiring breakthroughs that happen when we come together as a community. So grab your headphones, get ready for a mind-expanding experience, because on the Hollis Chapman Show, we believe that everyone has a story worth telling and a dream worth pursuing. Our mission is to inspire you to take that first step towards your own greatness. Mark your calendar, set your alarm, because every Tuesday and Friday a new episode drops, ready to empower, educate, and entertain you. Join us on this magnificent adventure, and together, let's unlock our limitless potential. Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show.
Hello, and welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show. I am Hollis. Hey, happy Friday to y'all. Very excited with a special guest today because, you know, this time of lending, this time of owning a small business, it's tough. Money's tight. Interest rate's high. It's hard. If you get into real estate, if you just kind of grow your business, it's a tough time today. And what I'm doing, because I'm trying to do a little investing myself, I'm trying to put together a team. Are you? Well, our guest coming on today, she can kind of clarify a lot of that. She can kind of clear our minds about why we should put our team together. Our guest today is Elizabeth. She's a wife, mother of two, lending consultant for a business. She's helped small business all over the country. So she's here to share her expertise. Let's welcome to the show our special, special guest, Elizabeth Loebenstein.
Hello, Hollis. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction and having me on this wonderful podcast. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, this is a great time for you to come on because, again, a lot of us is trying to learn the way to put our money in a safe but good place. And real estate is very enticing, very good. But you got to have you smart. You got to have, the right people around you to do things right. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and your business.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I got to say my kind of start on my journey was actually with my husband. We started a short-term rental business about 3 years ago. And we thought, as every small business or any kind of person looking for money, we would start with trying to get a loan. And we were told, go to your local bank because they, of course, will want to help you. And we went to our local bank that we had our mortgage, our cars, our credit cards, just thinking, of course, they would know us. They would want to play with us. And they said no. But they didn't say no because you got crappy credit. They didn't say no because, you were looking for too much. They just said no, period. There was no help. So,
Well, I know the no very well. I do know that. Go ahead. Sorry. they say no. You and your husband leave. You go home. Maybe you start bashing each other verbally. Going, yeah. Oh, what do we do? Why don't we do this, this, and this? How did you guys recover? How did you recoup? Do you sit there and say, okay, well, we know we can do some things. We know we're good at what we do. Let's start the business. Is that what happened? Let's start the business.
Right, exactly. So we kind of went home, licked the wounds, kind of regrouped, and we thought, oh, well, maybe it was just that bank. So we regrouped and we went to another, and they said the exact same thing. And so we went and we went to another, and it was not even no because of A, B, or C. It was just no, period. And, and again, as a mom, I'm used to no, period, but, but I don't appreciate no, period when it comes to the business-minded folks trying to get their businesses further, trying to understand why they're being told no. And now on this side, we did actually find a lender that wanted to play with us. We have 7 short-term rentals in the Madison, Wisconsin area, and we are doing great business. We're actually fully booked right now. So, it's not like we didn't have a great idea. It's not like we are the ones who invented Airbnb. We wanted to really just bring that to our neck of the woods, basically. And so what I always had nagging at the back of my throat was, what if this happens to other people? I really want to be there to be able to help. And so I actually found a mentor and I worked with him. I actually got a certification in doing the lending, because not only do I want to do the lending, sometimes no is what we get. Unfortunately, sometimes that happens. But to me, what I really do for my clients is when we do get a no, I actually work with them to show them this is why it was a no this time. And then if we can help out this A, B, or C, then we can actually even go one to the same lender or two to a different lender, or maybe we just kind of regroup and come back a little bit later, you know, maybe even right after tax time, where that also can kind of show the lender that we are knowing what we're doing. We mean business, and that we can kind of go forward. So
that's beautiful. Well said. I like that. Okay. So your title, let people know, your title is a loan broker. What is, kind of explain what that means. Who should have a lending broker, who should have one? Like I said, I'm looking and doing real estate investing, and I'm doing real estate investing, short-term stuff like that, plus tax liens. Who should have a lending broker? Talk to us about that and kind of explain that for us.
Of course. Well, to me, I, as the lending broker, it really just means that my loyalty is not with a specific lender, it's with my client. And so I have the ability to go to multiple lenders, and I do. So when I have a initial phone call with my clients, I have a couple of questions that I like to ask. I like to understand whether it's looking, you know, whether the client is looking for a small business loan, whether they're looking for a line of credit, or whether they're interested in the real estate market. I can have a lot of different questions, and we can start right off the bat going into the correct lender for each type of loan that we're going to look at. And then that'll really help, because I can kind of pull back the basically a commercial for each of my lenders that can kind of show which way we would like to go as with the client, because there are some times where it's time is of the essence. There are some times where we want a smaller down payment. There are some times where we want a quicker turnaround on the term or a longer turnaround, especially with real estate. There's no reason to, you know, try to pay that off quickly or anything like that. We want that asset to appreciate. We want, especially if you want to put some elbow grease into making it better, you know, all of those things. We want to make sure that the client has their questions answered and really understands what they're getting into. And so to me, I actually feel that everyone would really benefit from having a lender, or I'm sorry, from having a lending broker, because they can have someone that is in their corner. And then they also get to do what they do best, which is stay in their business, where they don't have to be at the beck and call of a lender. Instead, I am at the beck and call of a lender. And then I can send a little email that says, oh, we need this document. Or what I really do is actually send a list of the documents that we need to submit to each lender so that we can be more timely, we can make sure the loans get funded quicker, and that it's just a lot less stress on the client.
That's beautiful. You know, just like, you know, most of our guests are authors, and they have PR firms to do a lot of their stuff, because the authors are great at doing author stuff, writing their books and stuff like that. And you are perfect, because a lot of people who own businesses are looking for funding aren't very good at sitting in front of these people with suits and say, I need funding. Because obviously they're going to start asking for questions like, I don't know. Or they're going to look for this documentation. I don't know. So you kind of break that down for us. So when we do have to go and face that person in the suit, we can sit there and be prepared. And I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm, exactly. That's my whole goal. And that's what I really wanted to put forward for the clients, because they're too busy to sit there. And to me, I did not appreciate being told no for no reason, you know? And so that's what I avoid for my clients.
Now, we put together stuff for you. And say, I said, I want to get into the real estate, do the real estate stuff. Do you work with potential clients who want to qualify the property, other than qualifying, you know, the FICO score, qualifying your credit score? Do you work with people that way, or just want to, hey, Hollis, do you have this property you want to purchase? Let's get the numbers on the property. Do you do that?
Right. Yep. I actually do a little bit of everything. So what I actually do is I have a few questions that I ask regarding the property, you know, whether it is a seasoned investor, so they know all their numbers, or if they're brandy new at it. And then I actually try to help walk the client through, because if they are brand new at it, maybe they need to be partnered up with somebody who is just a little bit more of a veteran, or maybe they can actually talk to the general contractor who has a lot more seasoning under their hood as well. And then we can go forward again, as you even said too, with the numbers on the property instead of looking at the client's FICO score, because really what the lender is going to be interested in is that property going to increase in value, which right now even a cardboard box can increase, yeah. It seems so. Yeah. But you know, that's what we really try to do. I have a client that is looking at doing ground up construction for his sister complex for the apartment that he already currently owns. So we are looking at that, and he is his own general contractor. So he's able to kind of pull all those strings, yeah, right away, you know?
That's perfect. Yeah. He's bringing his skills to the network. That's good. That's good, yeah, to know. Okay. So you're a mother, a mother of two, your wife, Linda consultant. How does Elizabeth make that all work? Cause this, you know, I said this, I'm going to pull back now. I'm going to get a little personal with you. Mm-hmm. Kind of explain to us how you make it work. Cause I know that business that you're in, it can be a 24/7 thing. How do you sit there and do it, make it all work?
Yes. Yes. Well, and that's a great point, especially I know my girls definitely understand that sometimes mommy has to have a phone call. And but, you know, I really also think that having that motherly aspect really helps with those clients that really just need the hands-on. I do have clients that are battling some tax issues. And I do have clients that, you know, now that they're on the other side of the tax issues, they're ready to go and actually go forward, but they still kind of want a little bit of a lifeline. And I'm able to get them that because they're playing with me, who can answer their calls, who can get their messages returned, because it is me that they get to talk to. So it's been really great for that, and bringing all of the all of the aspects to what my history has always been too, is I've always been in customer service, because to me, customer service has to be at the absolute front of everything that a person should do. You should always treat that customer like they were you. And so even though that was however many years ago when my husband and I started this, I still see the client across the table as myself and my husband when we were looking for that loan to further on the legacy for our children, so that we would be able to have more time with them. So
outstanding. Yeah. You know, what I like and what I hear is that you personalize it very well. You know, you may go on a site, you may meet your clients, you bring the babies along and tell, you know what? That brings down the fear factor. Elizabeth, geez, she's just human too. She's got a little toddler she's got to worry about. She's got little girls that she's got to worry about. Okay, because when it deals with money, and some of these times, like especially a new investor, these are their first big purchases. This is very stressful. They're nerve-wracking. They can't sleep. But all of a sudden, you drive up. Oh, hold on one second. I got to get the baby out of the back seat. Hold on. Okay. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. This is okay. She's just a normal person. She's really cool. She's great. You know, so that's really good. I like to push that with people and listeners that Elizabeth, very personal, Elizabeth will take your side and be in your corner, and she will fight for you. And I love that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we go on, please tell us more about how we can follow you after the show. The name of your company, where do we go? Do you do stuff all over the country, or are you just limited to where you and your husband live? Talk to us about that.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I do have a website. Actually, it's at www.thoughtfullendingconsultants.com. And then on my website, you can actually see all of the different loan products that we kind of cover. There's all the way to big real estate transactions, all the way down to smaller lines of credit, and then all the way to even nonprofit organizations we've been able to help out too. So it is a kind of one-stop shop, because I am able to, again, my loyalty is to my client. My loyalty is not to a big bank investor, you know? So that's really why I try to do, and try to have as many places and avenues for my clients that they would be able to go. And again, each of those avenues would mean that those people are a lot busier than just sit behind a desk and wait for an email from a lender that says yes or no. So
perfect. Yeah. I'm at your website now. It's a beautiful done website. And make your business grow. I love that little caption there. And a lot of choices you have, financing options, account receivables, commercial real estate financing, fix and flip financing, healthcare financing, so that's different, merchant cash advances, small business loans, as you mentioned, and a letter for, you know, line of credit for businesses. That's great too. So some of the things you say is fueling growth one loan at a time, because your success is your investment. That's well done. Well said. So we like that. So again, I like the personalization, how you set things up. I like personalization, how you sit there and make a person feel welcome. Because again, the suit, well, they can intimidate the heck out of you, you know, stuff like that. So it's important to maybe when it comes to these big things and decide to get into the business, that you need to go to somebody we can sit and talk to and have a, you know, a cup of coffee with and sit there and say, okay, this is what I'm trying to do. How can I do it? This is what I want to do. How can I do it? Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that is what I strive to do. I am a small town girl. You know, Madison, Wisconsin is pretty close to us. We are at a little suburb outside of town. And I do try to make sure that everybody who comes to play with me gets all their questions answered, really feels like they have gotten the $1 million treatment. So
Now I'm in, you're in Madison, Wisconsin area. I'm in Tempe, Arizona. Could we work together?
Yes, definitely. I can work all over nationwide. And that is also really helpful too, because a lot of the lenders that are in my lending list are also nationwide. So it helps to kind of really, to me, to get the questions answered on what we're looking for, how big is the project, how even small is the project, that can also help too, because it can make the yeses faster to just make sure that the investor the lender has all of the information that they could ever want right up front or as quick as possible, because that will really help the process just go further. And then I'm also able to really let the client know that there is no stupid questions. This is money and you should know exactly and where exactly it's going. So
perfect. Now you and your husband, you start your business, things are growing. How kind of give us a little behind the scenes tips. How did you grow your business? As I said, you got a nice little reach. You're out there. How did Elizabeth and your husband start picking up these connection? Because again, you know, at the hard times we have when you're starting out, it's getting connections, getting that network advanced so you can make a phone call and say, hey, I got this. This is what we're trying to do. What can we do? How did you and your husband do that? How did you guys grow with that network?
Definitely. Definitely. Well, again, the coolest thing about being where we are in Madison is just that there are a lot of different real estate groups. And so and they're all over the place. It's just we happen to be near the capital city of Wisconsin. So it kind of is a little fun for us. But we are actually involved in a real estate investor group that meets every Monday. And then we also have a group that we started ourselves. So we just thinking that wouldn't it be fun? Our real estate investor group has about 100 or so people when everybody comes. And we just felt it was such a great thing, but we didn't really feel that one-on-one connection or even 1-on-10. So we got together with a few of the other people and we decided to kind of create our own smaller real estate investor group, but it ended up being more of just a small business group. We have a gentleman that does pest control. We have a few realtors and we also have a cleaning business where she takes care of a couple of the even as large as apartment areas. Mm-hmm. And then she also will be able to kind of even help us on the short-term rental side. So it's a lot of just the connections, exactly what you're saying. And then we also have a group that I'm involved in on Wednesdays. So it's really just getting yourself out there, talking to as many people as you can about the different questions that you have and joining a group. A lot of the real estate investor groups that we that have in even in the world today, you're usually able to go to at least a meeting and sometimes more than one without paying. And then you can actually see, is this worth it? Is this a good investment? Is it a big enough group where I can really get the questions that I want answered? And in this group, it really was such a good stepping off point for us. We are the only short-term rental operators in the group, but there are people who are buying entire apartment complexes. There's also people in self-storage. There's people, you know, there's a lot of realtors, because as soon as you say real estate, the realtors flock. But it's just great to be able to go and just talk, ask your questions, and really be able to immerse yourself into such a great group like that.
You know, I appreciate all that. You know, I'm part of a real estate group here in Arizona myself. You know, the first thing I got to do, the first thing I want to learn to do is some of the mentoring I was getting is point where, Hollis, a lot of people are like you. They're all sitting there starting, and they also get a whole bunch of people who just want to just want. So it's like, oh, Jesus, it's exhausting. It's like, my needs aren't what your needs are, stuff like that. How did you guys set it up and sit there and say, okay, let's all kind of help each other out. Let's all, you know, I know you want something. I know you want something, stuff like that. How can we do this so we all can kind of benefit? Because, again, it gets very exhausting. It's like, oh, how else I need this? Oh, how else I need that? Well, shoot, I need something too. I need this opportunity myself as well. How did you guys kind of balance that out? Because especially when you go into these groups, everybody wants something, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, and what I would say is we are very avid readers and listeners of books as well. We both really enjoy listening to a lot of books regarding mentorship, regarding real estate, regarding those kind of things. And actually, I had downloaded the book from the gentleman who started the BNI, which is like the business networking group. And so he actually wrote a book, and it was so interesting. It's Networking Like a Pro. And one I got was actually the second edition, but it's very interesting because it kind of goes through how to network. And everybody, Even my husband and I, when we first started doing networking and networking sessions, he describes it as he went to a networking session and the goal was who got the biggest number of business cards. And then whoever didn't get the biggest number had to buy the first round at the bar. And, you know, and so I just thought that was exactly what I thought networking was supposed to be about. But he goes through actually in the book and talks about it's not how many business cards, it's how many connections that you can actually make with the person and how you can actually help them. Because it's not always the person who you meet at the networking session that can use you. It's sometimes the person who they know that would actually be able to use you. And they're not going to tell anyone that they met me until they understand how I could benefit that person and also that I know what I'm talking about. So it's a really great book to be able to open your eyes about networking, because it's not always, oh, I'm looking for this, so I'm going to go talk to these three people because I know that they do A, B, and C. It's also a, you know, go and talk to the person who might not be talking because he's there just trying to understand, does he fit in? But he might be perfect for what you need to have done. So
perfect. Our special guest today is Elizabeth and her business, Thoughtful Lending Consultants, LLC. If you have a question for Elizabeth, please type it in, because I know we got a listener out there. And if you have a question for her about investing, small business loans, unsecured business loans, a credit, merchant cash advance, if you have any question about any of that, please don't hesitate to ask. We can get that, you know, we can get Elizabeth thinking, put a thinking cap on to help you out a little bit here while she's on here. So we appreciate this. Again, this time now, 2024, money's tight to get. But with her networking background, her and her husband working real hard to get, it makes it a little bit easier to get networked and get the resources to get the funds you need. You know, that's very important, you know. So that's good to know and stuff like that. So thank you for listening and dropping in. Thank you for the little note there, Brianna. Appreciate it. Okay. So, again, she's very insightful. If you want to sit and talk to someone who can be very personal, that's Elizabeth and her firm. Outstanding. So she kind of gave us some kind of specific examples of case studies where working with a lending broker has proven beneficial for businesses. Kind of deep diving that more. So, you know, we think about doing a lending broker, but put it over the top. Why should we work with you? Why should we sit there and reach out to you, Elizabeth?
Definitely, definitely. What I would say is my timeliness. My biggest goal is to make sure that I can get each of the clients responded to in a timely fashion. I can make sure that funding goes through very quickly, or at least as quickly as documents can get submitted, which now via email, it's very, very helpful. And I have, again, with my lenders, I am on a first name basis with my lenders. I can call them up. I can ask questions. I can make sure of what the timelines are. I specifically have, especially for the business line of credit, I have a lender that can do, you know, very high, all the way up to almost even $1 million in business line of credit. But I also know that he only can submit on Wednesdays, which is very interesting. But I also know that he requires, again, because it's such a high amount for business line of credit, he also requires quite a bit of documentation. So I can make sure that if I get a client who even reaches out to me on a Thursday, and I can tell them, okay, cool. Well, because you're doing this, because you meet these requirements, A, B, and C, these are the documents that I'm going to need to get. And then we can even submit them all the way up until that next Wednesday morning when he gets to go to his underwriting team, and then he's able to respond back to me. I even have his phone number, so I can call him right up. I can ask him any questions. And because I believe that I have those first name basis relationships with the lenders, it is a lot easier to get those quicker responses.
You know, you have such great reach, first name basis. How important it is to get the negotiable favorite terms? Right now, with interest rates real high and everything's real high, you can are you seeing yourself tougher to get nice terms for your clients, or because of your research and because of your networking opportunities, you still get nice terms at this point?
Right now, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, the interest rates are pretty similar across the board. Yeah. What I would say is what we are able to do is look at the term lengths, which then can have a pretty good impact on the interest rates. So then we can also look at down payments, and that also has a pretty good amount of input on those interest rates. So what we can look at is actually more styling the loan so that it's not that they, you know, it's not like client A gets a better deal than client B, but it would be, where does client A have the need? Do they need a higher down payment so that they can have that lower interest rate because they would rather see that lower interest rate throughout the term? Or is it that they really just do not have the down payment? So maybe we take a very low down payment, but we have a higher interest rate through the life of the loan. It's really kind of where we get to play with that underwriting team, with the lender, and getting a lot of it more based on what that client needs for what's going on as well. And again, for real estate, it's always more based on the property and looking at what that property will appreciate at. And then also that is very helpful because it doesn't always have an impact, again, on that client's credit score. It more looks at the asset.
Perfect. You know, I know you sent me some stuff before and asking me some stuff about that. When you sit down, say you sit down with Hollis, that's me, and we talk about and you want numbers, what number are you looking for me and my credit score that makes it work and workable for you? So I know some real estate agents, stuff like that, you know, they're going to sit there and, you know, check your stuff to see if you get this to make it worthwhile. What does Elizabeth need to start working with Hollis when it comes to credit score? What's the number?
Right. Well, I would say that again, and I hate to say it, it depends. Because again, I do have lenders. I have lenders that can go all the way down to a 600 credit score. I also have lenders who can play with credit scores in the 500s. I have lenders who will crawl over each other in broken glass for a 700 and above. So, you know, what I would say is, again, it always kind of depends. For example, the 600 credit score, it's a gentleman here. He owns a fourplex and it's a beautiful property. And he has, before he met me, he was dealing a lot in his credit cards. So it's not even really that he made and I would say not that he made a grave error, but he used credit cards instead of trying to really work the system. And so when he found me, there wasn't a lot of lenders that necessarily would have wanted to play with that low of a credit score, but he has actually finished the project and so now wants to do a cash out refinance so that we can rinse and repeat. And so he was able to change the $600,000 fourplex into a $1.2 million fourplex by his elbow grease and a few credit cards. And unfortunately, that impacted his credit score, so it's now down to a 600, but the lender that we're interested in playing with, he is only interested in that $1.2 million fourplex.
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful. And, you know, that makes me feel better because I know when I start seeing your questions to me, it's like, oh, shoot, I may not be able to go forward because my numbers aren't great. Because again, myself too, I invested with a certain group and all of a sudden now because of the number that I invested, my number went down. Because I, you know, 6 months ago, I was so excited. The first time my credit score was at 750.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was all excited, just ready to go. But then I did some things business wise, nothing bad, nothing negative. But my score went, you know how it is, the score went down. So it's like, oh, shoot. But right now, you made me feel a little better because I think we can do some things together because the score ain't bad. I'm on the uptick. And stuff like that. And I haven't missed a payment. I'm not late on anything and stuff like that. So I'm all proud of that. But it's time to make this real estate stuff work for me. So we'll talk more after the show. But okay. So again, it's wonderful. You have some wonderful tips. And I love it. Before we get to the final comment, please tell us again, where do we go to learn more about you and your business and how we get involved with you?
Definitely. So my website is www.thoughtfullendingconsultants. And then on there, you'd be able to look at all the products that we offer. And then on the back is a contact page. But my phone number is 608-770-0633. And that will get right to me. And it's again, 608-770-0633. We do have a Facebook page. It is also Thoughtful Lending Consultants. And on there, we do post daily and we really try to cover a bunch of topics. It's the same with our website. We do have a newsletter and a lot of the topics that we get are the questions that were asked by our clients of how does my down payment affect my interest rate? How does the market affect interest rates? You know, we're hearing as much as they really suck right now, they are getting to better numbers. And, you know, what we really have to, and I hate to say, if you look at the history, but you know, when we had those really, really low interest rates, that really only benefited a small number of people who really wanted to go and just buy a lot of stuff. And now when we have people who are being more thoughtful in their purchasing, trying to make the asset appreciate, then they're starting to kind of come up in those interest rates. And the really cool thing is some of the loan products that we have and that we can look at for the clients, they do have fluctuating interest rates. And that can actually really help when we continue to see the interest rates go down. So we had a client that started a SBA loan, and they actually look at those quarterly to see if the interest rate has gone up or down, and they can then fluctuate. Right now, he is sitting really happy because his interest rate went from in the teens, and now he's sitting at a really nice, and I hate to say 11, but he's in the 11s, which is a lot better than teens. Yeah, so
definitely. Hey, you know, I was going to look into SBA loans. Nick, I should follow up with that, or you kind of say no with that? What do you? Because you know what, the SBA loans, what always keeps me back is the darn paperwork. All that stinking paperwork with these government loans drives me crazy. So what's your thoughts real quickly about going after an SBA loan?
Well, it would depend on what you're looking to do. Because I know SBA loans, as much as there is a lot of paperwork, as much as there is, you know, it is government backed. So that's really helpful. But I also would say that it does completely depend on what you're wanting to do. I do have a gentleman who actually bought a school and wants to turn the upstairs into his personal living quarters and then downstairs into his general contracting shop. So he's looking at getting a loan. And what he was actually thinking was a business line of credit, but actually an SBA loan would actually fit more perfectly because he is looking at putting his own personal business into that product. And again, having it be a little bit more out of the loan is where I'm thinking actually an SBA loan might fit more perfectly for him because he has a little bit more funds that he would be able to get.
Outstanding. Elizabeth, that's beautiful knowledge. Elizabeth, thank you for sharing your insights and expertise on the benefits of working with people like yourself. And the listeners out there today, please follow up with Elizabeth as you hear. Very knowledgeable, very personal, and I'm definitely going to follow up with it myself after the show. So it's clear that utilizing a lender broker can provide businesses and investors with valuable resources and guidance in navigating the complex world of financing. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your expertise, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much, Hollis. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, listeners out there. Thank you for participation today and the engagement today. We really appreciate that. And Elizabeth is very much thanks for doing that today. Okay, so it was awesome for you guys to be out there listening. Please follow up. This is a tough time. And what is really nice is, Elizabeth, you can sit there and get somebody in your corner. You know, you don't have to sit there and face these suits. We're looking for funding all alone. And that's what's so cool about it. Because when we know we're going to buy these purchases and get these real estate stuff, you feel so alone. You feel so intimidated by these suits. You know, like you said, and one time, and a lot of us, you get turned down once. Oh, shoot. I guess I wasn't meant to be this in this business. But like she was explaining, you may have to knock on a couple doors. You may have to knock on three or four doors before that yes comes around. And boom, it's there. Boom, you can get what you need. Okay. So again, Hollis will contact Elizabeth after the show. We're going to sit there and talk more, you know, and try to get some things done myself. And I want the other listeners to do the same thing. Contact her. Let's get going. Let's have a great 2024. Okay. Let's make it happen. Elizabeth is going to help us. Let's play a little music. Thank you, everyone, for coming in today. Appreciate it. Make sure you follow up with Elizabeth. She's going to be great. She can help us out. All right. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back here Tuesday on the Hollis Chapman Show, 10 o'clock. And as always, I'll see you next time.